To see you today. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody good? Happy 4th of July weekend. So glad that you're here. And we've been in a series called The Daddy Issues. And we've been talking about how many of the problems that we face in life are a result of us not understanding who our Heavenly Father really is. And so we all have some daddy issues, don't we? And we want to talk about today something that we're going to kind of build on what we started a few weeks ago as we look at the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. But before we get to the scripture today, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever struggle with feeling like that the bar is set too high in the Christian life? Have you ever felt like, man, I just don't measure up? Maybe you struggle with feeling guilty, or you feel like, you have struggled to live out your Christian faith as well as somebody else. And as a result, you think, man, the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, I don't know if I can live up to that. Maybe it seems like the bar is set too high. And, you know, it's easy for us to feel like slaves instead of sons. And it's interesting in the book of Romans chapter 8 that the Apostle Paul begins to outline for us the fact that the Christian life is not a life of slavery. It's not a life of condemnation. It's not a life of endless guilt and work and work and work. But really following Jesus Christ and living accordingly is living as a child of the Most High God. That's what it is. It's living and really understanding that and walking in that. And so I want us to turn in the Bible today to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 13, because at times we may feel like that the Christian life and that God's word is leading us into a life of slavery, but that's not the truth. The truth is that following Christ is freedom. Following Christ is done out of a sense of sonships, out of a sense of God as our loving Father and we as His children. And in Romans 8, verse 13, the scripture begins by saying, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs." And check this out. "Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him." And that's the great hope that we have, is that we'll be glorified with Christ in the age to come. But the scripture tells us here that we are adopted by God. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been adopted by God. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you've been adopted by God. Somebody just thought, well, I thought we were born into the family of God. And the Bible uses both metaphors to describe our connection to God. The Bible says we are born again. We're born once by the flesh and then once by the Spirit. But the Bible also says here that we've been adopted by God. We've been adopted by God. And these are pictures that the Apostle Paul is using to paint a clear picture for us of our own salvation and our relationship to our Heavenly Father. So we have been both adopted and born. It's not just one or the other. It's really both and. And you know, I love this concept of adoption, because if you've been adopted, you're a very special person because your parents chose you. How about that? You know, my parents just got stuck with me. But if you've been adopted, you were chosen by God, and that means that God loves you. And in Christ, we have been adopted. We've been adopted. In the ancient world, people were adopted, much like the 21st century. We have adoption in our generation, in our age. But in the ancient world, it was particularly done to make sure that the family name carried on. And it had a significant meaning in the ancient world, and every reader of the Apostle Paul's writings here in the book of Romans would have understood that an adopted person, first of all, lost all rights to their former family. So if you were adopted into family A, you could not be a member of family B. You had to be in one family or the other. You couldn't claim dual citizenship, okay? You were in one family or another. Just like in Christ, we can't be in Christ and in the world. We can't walk in darkness and walk in light at the same time. Secondly, an heir also had rights to his father's estate. So if you were the heir, you were the son, you were to receive all the inheritance of the father, you got everything that the adopted father was giving. And then thirdly, he was considered a totally new person and all debts were wiped out. And that's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. We had debts, and in the cross, our punishment was taken care of as Jesus died, and then he rose again on the third day so that all of our sins could be wiped out. Amen? See, we've been adopted by God. That's why this is such a beautiful image. I hope you're seeing this today, church. I hope you're feeling this today. And you may be thinking, well, what about the daughters? You know, I know some of the women are like, hey, what about me? You know, and it's interesting that Paul is not leaving the women out. He actually is taking a concept that was culturally specific to a male, because to be an heir, you had to be the oldest son. And so in the Roman culture, the oldest son pretty much received everything. If you were like the second or the third brother, you know, tough for you, man. But the oldest son got pretty much everything. And he's using that picture of an heir, and he's taking it and he's using it in a spiritual application, which applies to all who have called on the name of Jesus. Meaning this, that you can be a daughter of God or you can be a son of God. But when the Bible uses the word son, it is inclusive. It means both. And so we see this beautiful picture that's being painted here. I hope you're feeling it today, church. Look at this right here. There's five privileges of sonship. And I want you to write these down today, because this has everything to do with how we relate to God. If you don't understand who God is, you certainly cannot relate to him properly. So let's talk about how we can relate to God. The five privileges of sonship. Number one, you have power in your life. You have power. Look at this in Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. You have power. You have power over sin, the Bible says. If you're a son of God, the Holy Spirit has taken root in your life, and the Spirit of God is the one that gives you power over what the Bible calls the deeds of the flesh, meaning our own appetites and our own aptitudes to want to do our own thing. We have a new power. We have a new power. We have a new vitality. We have a new strength that's within us. A lot of times we try to make changes in our life by our own self-efforts, our own self-will. And you know, you can make some changes in your life a little bit with that, but it isn't anything like the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. The Spirit of God is the power of God. It's the power of God. And he gives us this power over our sin. Now, a lot of people make decisions by their emotions and feelings. But listen, as a child of God, we have a strength. We have a strength. We have a power that comes from the Holy Spirit to help us defeat our own appetites. Our own appetites. That's why Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will have victory over our struggles. And I love that Ephesians 5:18, because it reminds us that we have to continue to drink. Just like a drunk person has to continue to drink to stay drunk, a Christian has to continue to drink of the Holy Spirit in their life to have power and vitality. That's what it is. So Paul begins by saying, man, listen, if you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit gives you power, gives you strength, gives you capacity, gives you the ability to be transformed. The Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. How are we transformed? The Holy Spirit within us. That's how it is. Begins to change us. And, you know, unfortunately, most people live the way that they've always lived. You know, if somebody's a liar, chances are they're going to keep lying, you know. Somebody has a problem with their temper and they're angry. Most of the time, people just live the way they've always lived. Be angry. But you know what? The great exception It's for a follower of Christ, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit is conforming you into Christ's likeness, and you don't have to live the way you have always lived because you are being renewed. You're being transformed into someone that's new. And that's in Christ's likeness. So we have this power, this strength. Before I became a Christian, I didn't have this power. And now I do. And that's why at Edge Church, we're patient with people who come into our fellowship, people who come to our church, and people are checking it out. And maybe they say things or do things that might be offensive to those of us that love God and love God's word. We're patient with that because we realize that if somebody doesn't have the Spirit of God in their life, they don't have the strength and the capacity to follow Christ. So we have a patience about us. We have a patience. We understand that. We welcome that opportunity. But you know what? Once we cross that line of faith and the Holy Spirit comes into our life, you know what? We got a new nature. We got a new strength. We have no excuses, man, to follow God. Because God's given us that vitality, that energy that we need, man. Human will will take us a little bit down the road, but not very far. We need the Spirit of God. We had a guy the other day, he was working in our yard. He was trimming our junipers. And I don't know if you guys have noticed our campus, but we got like juniper mania around here. The people who built this church campus love junipers. I mean, they're just all over the place, and they grow like gangbusters, and they have to be trimmed. And he was out there, and he was trimming them with like a little hand trimmer set, like a pair of pliers almost. Like, he was out there, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is making me crazy. I was like, you're going to be here for a month, you know? And so we went back to where we keep some of our tools, and we brought him our big, bad man weed eater. This thing has an attachment that goes on the front that cuts junipers and all kinds of stuff. A big blade. I mean, it's bad. I mean, you feel like a man when you're blowing stuff up with this. It's awesome. And we handed it to him. And guess what? What would have taken him days upon days upon days, he did like in an hour. Why? Because he had the right tool. Do we have anybody that likes to build stuff here? Do we have any handymen? Builders? Yeah, some of the women. Now, come on. My wife does all the handiwork in our home. I got no shame in that. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather build something with a flathead screwdriver, or would you rather build something with this? There's a big difference. Oh, there's a big difference. This is self-will. I'm going to try and change myself. This is, I'm going to let the power of the Holy Spirit of God direct me and lead me and give me capacity that I didn't even know that I had. Wow, what is it? Man, are you trying to make changes in your life? Man, you need the Spirit of God. And you will feel like a slave. Let me tell you something today. If you see the changes in your life like this, you will feel the weight of following Christ. I'm telling you, you'll think this is overwhelming. I cannot do this. It's impossible. By the way, the Christian life is impossible without God. Sometimes people get the rules outside of the relationship. But when we get the relationship right, we got a power tool right here. And that's what we need today, church. We need the power tool of the Spirit of God. We need the power. And here's what's beautiful. When we begin to take the power tool to our life, then guess what happens? We begin to look like Christ. We're conformed into the image of Christ. We're conformed into this new person. We don't look the way that we used to look, right? I mean, I used to live this way. I used to act like that. But now Christ is changing me. The Spirit of God is leading me and directing me. And so I'm not the person that I used to be. Different. Everywhere I go, people tell me, your little boy looks just like you. I got a little 9-year-old boy, and we were looking through some old pictures, and we found these old pictures. How about that? Now, you can guess which one I am. How about the butterfly collar? Is that awesome or what? As a kid, I loved those things. My mom used to dress me in all the butterfly collars. Those were awesome back in the day. That was a long time ago. I won't tell you how old I am. It was a real long time ago. But my little boy, he's got the bow tie on there. And do you see the resemblance? Okay, come on, you're messing with my illustration today. Don't look at me like that. The smile, it kind of gives it away, doesn't it? And so when you see Zane, when you see my little boy, you see an image of me, don't you? Yeah, because he looks like me. And you know what? That's the hope. That's the hope of every Christian, is that when people would see us, that they would see our Father. That they would see Him. They wouldn't just see us, but that they would see Him. They would see our Heavenly Father. They would see Him. And as we're being transformed into the image of Christ, we're looking more and more like Christ every day, that people would say He's a spitting image of His Father. We got to have the power of God to do it. We've got to have the power of God. And this is a part of sonship, is that we have the Holy Spirit. This is the great privilege that we have, is to be conformed into the image of Christ. Again, we're not doing it by ourselves. We're doing it with the great power that is within us that comes through God's Spirit. Here's the second thing today. Check this out. Direction. 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 See, when we're led by the Spirit of God, it shows that we are the sons of God. Look at this in verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, that's evidence that you're God's son, that you're God's child. How about that? Is the Holy Spirit leading your life today? Man, are you just making up your own choices, doing your own thing? Or is the Holy Spirit leading you and directing you? Is the Spirit of God orchestrating your steps, or are you just doing your own thing? What is it? Are we led by peer pressure, by pop culture, by the latest psychology book? Are we led by the traditions of our family? Or are we led by the Spirit of God? Led by the Spirit of God. I tell you, I look for the Holy Spirit's guidance every week. When I preach a sermon to you, I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me and direct me. I do. When I'm making choices about how to spend our money, I expect the Holy Spirit to lead me. When I'm making decisions about friendships, I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to lead me. When I'm making decisions about where my kids go to school and how to lead and parent them and direct them, I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to lead me. I need the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God leading you and directing you in your life. Have you ever had that moment where you're just reading a passage of Scripture and the verse just pops off the page and you're like, oh my goodness, that's me today? The Holy Spirit's leading and directing. A couple of years ago, I finished a Sunday morning message. I was out in the lobby shaking hands. A man walked up to me I'd never seen before, and he said, I need to ask you a question. And he looked really nervous. He was sweating a little bit. He kind of looked around. He goes, hey, I have to ask you a question. He said, did my wife contact you this week and tell you what I've been doing? And I was like, well, who's your wife, first of all? And he was like, she's over there. And he told me her name. I've never seen this lady before, never heard of this lady before. This guy said, this is my first time in this church, and I just had to know, did my wife contact you? And I said, sir, I have absolutely no idea who your wife is. And even if she would have contacted me, I would not have preached a whole sermon towards one person. So I preached to the whole group. And he said, well, I had to ask you because everything you were talking about today was specifically related to the struggles that I've been having. And this is my first time to the church, and I just couldn't believe that a sermon could be directed at me like that. And I said, sir, that's because of him. That isn't because of me. Man, the Spirit of God is leading and directing. That man should have gotten on his knees and given his life to Christ right there in the lobby. I think instead it freaked him out. The Holy Spirit is the one that's leading. He's giving direction. You know, Paul said in another book, Ephesians 5:25, he said this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Following the dictates of the Holy Spirit is like keeping in step, you know, with the Spirit. You got to step. You got to step. One step. One step. Here's the deal. The issue is God leading. Never pray, Holy Spirit, lead me. Pray this, Holy Spirit, give me the capacity and the will to follow the leading. God is always leading. The Spirit of God is always leading. What we need is the desire to follow His leading. Amen? Amen. That's what it is. That's what we need. And we got to keep in step with the Spirit. I was talking with one of my friends about this passage this week. He's a dance instructor. And he said, Ryan, great dancers, people who do like, you know, waltz and, you know, the tango and the foxtrot and all the like. I'm not talking about like shake your booty kind of stuff. I'm talking about like real dancing, okay? He said, you lead with your torso, okay? You lead with this. You don't lead with your arms. And I'm like really stiff. I'm like a terrible dancer. I thought you did all this kind of stuff, swing your partner around, all that, do-si-do, whatever it is. And he said, no, you lead here. So you have to have an intimate connection. If the person you're dancing with, your partner, if you feel like they have cooties, it's not going to go real well. You got to get close. So you got to get up and close. You got to have an intimate connection. And you lead from here. Great dancers. Maybe you've seen it on Dancing with the Stars. By the way, after the early service, we had some folks here that run a dancing studio, and Von Miller had been practicing before he went on Dancing at the Stars at their studio, and they said Von was horrible. Okay, well, maybe Von needs to stick with football, okay? I'm just putting that in for free. You lead from here. You lead from here. You have to have an intimate connection, he says. You have to have an intimate connection, and then you have to have complete trust. Because the person who is leading the dance, if you're resisting the direction in which you are going, it's going to be all awkward. It's not going to flow. So you have to have an intimate connection. You have to have complete trust. And then the person that's leading has to know where they're going, because if not, then you'll end up in the parking lot somewhere. I love to think of the Christian life as a dance. The Holy Spirit says, step, 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 step. And when we follow His leadership and His guidance, guess what? There's an effortless motion that takes place in our lives today. Is your life in step with the Holy Spirit? Are you keeping in step with where God is leading? Are you moving at the pace and according to the dictates and the direction in which the Lord Jesus Christ is instructing? How about that? It takes two to tango. We got to have God leading and me following. God leading and me following. See, when I start to try to take the lead, that's when the dance gets all messed up. I'm just responding to God's leadership and direction, and wherever He's taking me, we're creating that beautiful movement with God. So God gives direction. Okay, this is a sign of being a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you, which brings power. You have the direction of the Holy Spirit within you. And then thirdly, check this out. You have security. Okay, look at verse 15. When you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we have security. We have security. We have security. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. So we have a spirit, and then the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and my spirit are saying the same things. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. If your spirit doesn't bear witness with the Holy Spirit, then you haven't entered into the family of God. So we have that assurance, that we have that confidence. See, when you know for sure that you're God's child, there's a confidence in your life. You will pray bolder prayers. You will live by bigger faith. You will take bigger steps in your life because you have that confidence. I've got the power source. I'm God's child. If you're always confused and uncertain and whatever, man, you know, it's just not the same. So we have that sense of security. We're not to fear, but to enjoy being God's child. And notice he says the spirit of slavery will lead you to fall back into fear. It's amazing that how fearful we can be of God when we don't know God. When you know God, then you won't be afraid of Him. You'll love Him and you'll call on His name and you'll enjoy him being your Abba Father. And that word Abba is an Aramaic term. It means like daddy, papa. The whole New Testament's written in Greek, but the writer here pulls a word from the Aramaic language. It's like Greek, 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 Greek. And then he pulls Abba from the Aramaic and he puts it in there. And then it's Greek, 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 Greek. And you don't see that in the English language, but the reason that he uses that word Abba is because it's just such a great word and it means intimacy. You know, my kids don't say, Father? Father? My kids say Dad or Daddy. You know, because there's a relationship that's there, right? Father? Formalized religion doesn't understand that God is Abba Father. It doesn't. But there's an intimacy, there's a closeness that's there. And we should never relate to God out of fear. And that word to testify in the same verse is a word in which we get the English word martyr, which originally means an authoritative witness. So I have an authoritative witness. I have the Holy Spirit and I have my spirit and they're going the same direction. And it brings confidence in my life. It brings intimacy in my life. It brings that intimacy. Intimacy, Abba Father, intimacy. We have inclusion with God, intimacy. Parents, we want to be intimate with our children, don't we? We do. We want our kids to be close. My little girl loves piggyback rides. I've been giving her piggyback rides. I know that one day she's going to be too big to do piggyback rides, but we're just loving the piggyback rides. She's just almost too big for that, but we're loving it right now. It's just awesome. Piggyback everywhere. My little girl loves to come crawl in bed with Gina and I sometimes. And I found myself a couple of months ago sleeping on the edge of the bed like this. I don't know if the parents have ever related to that. Like, your back's all tense and your neck's all, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, well, there's too many people in here. My little girl spreads out like this, you know. I told Gina, I was like, she's got to start sleeping in her room. And she said, Ryan, she's not going to sleep with us long. Let's just enjoy it while she wants to come cuddle up with me. And I was like, all right, fair enough. There's an intimacy, man. Parents, you love your kids, don't you? You do? God loves you. Abba Father, there's that intimacy that's there. It's close, close to God. And then finally, we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. So there's an intimacy, number four, there's an inheritance. There's an inheritance with God. There may have been many children in a Roman home, but the oldest son got the inheritance. And that way the family name was preserved and their standing in the community was reserved. Paul's not affirming that. He's just saying that's just the way it was. But he pulls that identity and he says, you know what? In Christ, we are all his heirs. Isn't that great to know this? That because somebody else is an heir, they didn't get the spot that I needed. You can be an heir of Christ and you can be an heir of Christ and you can be an heir of Christ and all of us can be an heir of Christ. It's awesome when we call on his name and we enter into his family, we can all join his spiritual family. And listen, when you're an heir of Christ, you have everything that you need in your life. Do you know that? Everything that you need, you have. Everything you need. You have all that we need, all that you need. The riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7 says, the riches of his kindness, the riches of his patience, the riches of his glory, the riches of his power, the riches of his mercy, the riches of his wisdom. We have all of that in Christ. We have all of it. I'll tell you, I look forward to receiving all that's been entitled to me, all that God has given to me in eternity. It gets even better, guys. You know what? In eternity, there's no nursing homes. There's no hospitals. There's no bills to pay. There's no bad reports from the doctor. There's no people saying hurtful things about us. Oh, we have an inheritance that is to come when we're glorified with Christ. And so we look forward to that. We look forward to receiving that great inheritance as a child of God. We look forward to it. Yeah. That's why we're not slaves. We are sons and daughters of the King. That's why God is an amazing Father who loves us and knows us and wants to be close to us. Let's turn our hearts to Him this week and let's walk with Him in each way. Let's pray together.